Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 12. Ezekiel 28 and verse 12. And we'll read down through verse 19. Now I'm going to read this, and you're going to think, what in the world? And where's he going with this? But stay with me a few minutes. Ezekiel 28 and 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, for the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee. And I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shall be any more. I want to talk to you a few minutes this morning about praise. And about praise, I've already, you know, encouraging you in this service to be a praiser and a worshiper. But I want us to look at the significance of it, the importance of it, and how that as the people of God, we, when we praise the Lord, we are fulfilling our purpose, our calling as a worshiping people. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, it says that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we have been chosen, we have been anointed, we have been called, we have been sanctified for that very purpose. What is the purpose? To show forth the praises of our God. Amen. That just means if you are alive and breathing today, you should be a people, a person of praise. Amen. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I'll take that a little step further and say that every one of you that are born again of the Spirit of God and the breath of the Spirit of God has been breathed into your life, you should be willing and desiring to give glory and honor and praise unto the Lord. Jesus breathed on his disciples just before he ascended into heaven and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He breathed upon them, and he has breathed upon you and upon me. If you're a Christian today, you have been touched by the Spirit of God, and you ought to be a person who desires to praise the Lord. Now, this is not just an exercise in what we do when we come to church. Being a person of praise is a lot more important and a lot more serious than you might think. And that's why I read to you from Ezekiel 28. In Ezekiel 28, you get a little insight into Satan, the devil, who he is and where he came from. That king of Tyre that's mentioned there, that's actually describing Satan himself in this chapter. It's describing Satan. I know that when you think of the devil and you think of Satan, you immediately think of some hideous creature, horns, and all this awful-looking creature that really that idea has come from some, you know, mythology. But really, the biblical presentation of who Satan was and even is today is not that at all. He is not that wicked, awful, frightening figure, but instead, our text here describes him as being perfect, full of wisdom and beauty. He's full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. That's who Satan is. And, you know, there's no wonder because we know that Satan is a deceiver, and he is able to come and deceive not because he presents himself in some hideous or frightening way, but because the Bible says he can change himself into an angel of light. An angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11 and 13 says, "For as such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles. Evil workers can deceive by turning themselves into something and presenting themselves as apostles of Christ." And Paul says, don't marvel at that. Don't be surprised by the deceitfulness of false teachers or false prophets, because Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. We need to understand that Satan is a deceiver, and he is your enemy, your adversary, and wants to destroy you and stop you and keep you from being what God has called you to be. Now look at verse 13. We're back here in Ezekiel chapter 28. "Thou hast been in Eden." We know that there is no king of Tyre in Eden, but we know that Satan was there. "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God." And then it describes him. "Every precious stone was thy covering," or your cloak, his covering, was all of these beautiful diamonds and emeralds and all these different beautiful stones and were his cloak. They were his garments. And so Satan was in the garden. Can you imagine the beauty of a creature covered in all of those amazing diamonds and all those beautiful stones? That was the deceptiveness, and that was the cloak of Satan. And then it says that thy tabrets and thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. So let's just back up here just a minute. Remember this: Satan is a created being. He is a created being, and God created him in all of his glory and his beauty and his splendor. He created him perfect and wise, and gave to him this wonderful ability to present himself in this glorious and beautiful way. And then it describes him as your tabrets and your pipes were created in you. That really, this was Satan's ministry, or his purpose in heaven was his tabrets, which was really like a tambourine or some sort of a percussion instrument, and the pipes. And so all this was created in him. So Satan was very much in heaven giving glory and praise unto God through the sounds of those pipes and those tabrets. And you can really trace the origin of music back to this text right here, and how that music, the workmanship of your tabrets and your pipes, was prepared in thee. And so
Not only was it music, not only was it harmony, not only all of these things that were coming forth from Satan himself, giving praise and glory in the heavens to the Lord. Amen. That was Satan. Let me tell you, this music is a gift from God. It's a heavenly gift. And it is only evil when it's perverted by the flesh, by sinful ways, by sinful activities. There's some music today that it's very obvious to me that it's not of heaven, that it is not from God. It's man-made, it's man-centered, it's perverted, it glorifies man himself. It turns people's hearts not to God, but to the flesh and to the things of the world and to sin. So there's a lot of music today that's not from heaven. It originated from heaven. Music originated from heaven, but today it's perverted, just like man perverts just about everything that God has given to us. Just about everything that God blesses us with. But God created it, and he created Satan or Lucifer. The Bible here also calls him the anointed cherub. So he's anointed, he's perfect, he's wise, he's full of music, glorifying God in the heavens. Amen. Amen. So we are to be a people of praise, and we need to understand the importance of our praise. Let me tell you, there's a close connection between the right kind of music and spiritual things going on in the heavenlies. There really is a big comparison. That's why the right kind of a song can affect your spirit. It can lift your spirit. It can bless you. It can encourage you, especially if it's a song that glorifies God and edifies the hearts of people. That kind of music is wonderful and can have an effect upon your spirit. Amen. You remember that Saul, who had turned away from the Lord, and Saul was very troubled by evil spirits, the Bible says, and he would call for David to come in. More than one occasion, he called for David to come in, and David would play music. He would play his harp before Saul, and the evil spirit would depart from Saul because David came in and played the songs, the music, and glorified God and honored the Lord with his music, and the music had that kind of an impact. Amen. In the spirit realm. Amen. I've read where Adolf Hitler, who was a murdering, vicious criminal, responsible for murdering millions of people during the World War II era. But he was very troubled more than one time. Many times, Adolf Hitler would call in for certain of his favorite musicians. Most of them were either keyboard piano players or violinists. And by the way, Hitler himself was a musician who played the violin and played the piano. But he would bring in these musicians to calm his spirits because he would become so troubled in his spirit. And something about the music was calming to him, even in his wicked condition that he was in. So music is powerful. Music is from heaven. The right kind of music glorifies God and can all also be a part of your spiritual life and your spiritual victory. Amen. You say, "Well, I'm not really a singer." Everybody is a singer. We can all sing praises unto the Lord. Remember there the story of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, that there was a coalition of different nations who rose up against him to destroy him. And the Bible says that he went and he inquired of the Lord. He prayed and asked the Lord. And he called a fast and asked the people to join him The Bible says he set himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast. And the Lord raised up a man by the name of Asaph. That's a familiar name. You'll see that name a lot of places, especially in the Psalms, because Asaph was a musician and a worshiper and a leader in worship. And Asaph is the man that the Lord spoke to him, came by the Spirit of the Lord to him and used him to say, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed. The battle is not yours. This battle belongs to the Lord. You won't have to fight this battle, he said. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Down in verse 21 of that chapter, the Bible says that after he had consulted with his leaders and after he had sought the counsel of the Lord, that he appointed singers who would praise the beauty of his holiness. And as they began to sing and praise the Lord, as they went out to battle, that all of their enemies were dismayed, and the Lord set up ambushments against them and smote them, and they were all destroyed. And when Jehoshaphat's armies marched back into Jerusalem after this great victory, they went into the temple singing, playing their harps and their trumpets and singing about the fear of the Lord and how that God had come and delivered their nation. Praise God. There is a close connection between your worship, your praise, and your victory over the enemy of your soul. Amen. And I encourage you, when you come to the house of the Lord and the song leader says, let's all enter in and sing, or the preacher says, it's time to praise the Lord, lift up your hands, clap your hands, worship the Lord, sing unto the Lord, understand the spiritual significance of it. It's not just an activity that we're involved in here. There's spiritual power whenever we praise God. There's spiritual victory that can come if we truly worship the Lord and truly praise the Lord. And I encourage you to turn your hearts toward the Lord and realize that it is God that wants to give to you a victory. And one of the ways that he will bring that victory is if you'll turn your attention from yourself and to the Lord and begin to glorify God. God can bring you a victory. Now, the Bible says that Satan was cast out of heaven. Let's read here a little bit more. This is verse 14 of Ezekiel 28. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Let me tell you, Satan had his privilege of walking in the heavens and being in the glory of the Lord. Verse 15, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. So he was changed from an anointed cherub, from a perfect angelic being full of wisdom and perfection. He was changed whenever his heart was lifted up in pride and his attention and his focus got off of himself or got off of the Lord and his purpose in bringing glory and honor to the Lord, and it turned to himself. It turned to himself. And the Bible says that by the multitude of thy merchandise, verse 16, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. In the very next verse, again, the same thing you said. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings. And so Satan himself, this created angelic being, perfect, full of beauty, full of wisdom, and full of music and praise unto God, was cast out of heaven. Amen. Jesus said, Luke chapter 10 and verse 18, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Let me tell you, there's a warning here about pride. That if you get exalted in yourself, and somehow it can get mixed up in with music and worship. Now, I do believe that it's important that you do your best. You should offer your best to the Lord. That's why we practice. That's why we prepare. That's why you do your best. And I know sometimes people say, "Well, I just open up my mouth and let her fly." Well, is that your best? Are you doing your best for the Lord? He deserves your best. And so prepare and practice and do the best that you can. And that's certainly worthwhile and important. But there is a warning about turning the attention off of God and turning the attention on yourself. Amen. There's a warning there. There's a warning. If you get exalted, if you get lifted up in yourself, Lucifer, that anointed cherub, lifted himself up. He said, "No, I'm going to be like God. I'm going to be exalted. I'm going to be like him." And really what he was saying was, "I want you to worship me instead of God. I'm worthy of that worship rather than the Lord himself." So there's a warning there about the sin of pride. Let me tell you, everybody, I've heard people say, "Well, I don't worship really because I'm just bashful. And I'm just kind of introverted, and I don't raise my hands, and I don't clap my hands, and I'm not a good singer, so I just don't enter into the worship service that way." Well, that's not the truth. That's not reality, because everybody worships something. Everybody worships something or someone. So if you're not worshiping the true, the living God, you found some other source of worship. Today in our American society today, people worship themselves. Why do you think they take hundreds of selfies? Why do they do that? They do that because they think they look good, and they want everybody else to see, "Hey, look at me." So they take a picture of themselves and another picture, and the whole day is full of pictures and selfies of themselves. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to realize that we're not all that great. And that we don't really need to honor ourselves and exalt ourselves and lift up ourselves. We were created to give glory and honor to the Lord in whatever ways that we can, through our words, our actions. And the verse that I mentioned there earlier was that we are a called out, we're a chosen generation, a holy priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. We've been called out for that very purpose, to show forth the praises of him that has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So if you're saved, before you were saved, your mouth and your speech and your tongue was used to do a lot of wicked and evil things. Tell lies, to be profane, to spew things that were not true. A lot of ways. But once you're saved, you're changed, and your lips become, and your mouth and your voice becomes an opportunity to give glory and praise unto the Lord. Amen. To sing praises unto the Lord. To declare the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Your hands that were before you were saved, they were doing evil deeds, fulfilling wicked actions and activities, doing things that displeased, dishonored the Lord. But now that you are a Christian, your hands can be lifted up in praise to the Lord. You can clap your hands in praise to the Lord. You can do deeds that give glory and honor to the Lord by your actions and your lifestyle. Before you were saved, your feet took you to places you shouldn't go, got you in a direction that you shouldn't be following. But once you get saved, everything is different now. Your feet take you to the house of God. Your feet take you to do the will of God and to perform the purpose of God for your life. Amen. When you're saved, everything changes. And your focus should change from yourself to God. Amen. Everybody worships
And once you're a born-again Christian, then that worship should be focused upon God and all the glories and the goodness of God, and we should be a worshiping people. Amen. Every civilization in history, all throughout the world, every civilization, even the most primitive tribes, they have some form of worship. Some form of worship. They may worship animals, they may worship the trees, they may worship, but they all, that is a characteristic in the human condition, that people are worshipers. They're worshipers because God has instilled into our hearts, into our lives, a desire for worship. And he wants that focus to be turned toward God himself. So your praise is important. Your praise is spiritually significant. It does have a divine purpose. It can accomplish some mighty and wonderful things if you are truly a worshiper of the true and the living God. The sad thing about, Satan was expelled from heaven. He fell like lightning out of heaven, the Bible says. Jesus himself said that Satan was expelled from heaven and fell like lightning out of heaven. But if you notice that there was one third of the heavenly host that fell with him. Whenever you do not focus upon worshiping the true and the living of God, you influence others. You really do. You influence others. And you even influence some who come into church who may not be serving the Lord or may not be close to the Lord, and they look around and they see all these sad, somber faces and everybody just, you know, about half alive in the church service, and they are thinking, if that's Christianity, I don't think I want any of that. If that's Christianity, I don't want that. Are you still with me this morning? Amen. There ought to be in our hearts a praise unto God. And we ought to realize the spiritual significance of our praise. That we're not just doing our Pentecostal activities. We are actually entering into to the realm of the Spirit. And God can lead us into steps toward victory whenever we worship him and praise him and glorify the name of the Lord. The Bible says in Jude verse 6 that the angels which kept not their first estate but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of that great day. So those, that one third of the heavenly host fell down with Satan himself. They were bound in chains. They were held in darkness. That's the process. That's what happened to them. And others who are following you, what is going to happen to them if they are influenced by your life and your steps toward worshiping the true and the living God? The Bible says, verse 18, thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of the traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of them. It shall devour thee, and I will bring them to ashes upon the earth in the sight of them. And they, all they that know thee among the people, shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. What was, it's hard to imagine what Lucifer was, what that anointed cherub was. It's hard to imagine that because now we know he's a thief and a liar. And he goes about like a roaring lion, seeking to devour whoever that he can. That's the adversary, the enemy of our soul. It's hard to imagine what he was and all that he lost in the fall, in his fall from heaven. But please understand this morning that what we must do and we must focus our attention on as the people of God, and that is intentionally praising and worshiping God and entering into the spirit of praise. Not just out of routine, not just because the preacher says, let's all praise the Lord, but because we can enter into this realm of the Spirit whereby we can experience God's blessing and favor in his victory
Amen. There is a reason and a purpose why that all of us need to be praisers. Amen. Lifting up our voice unto the Lord. Amen. Could you stand with me this morning? And could we today, as we, before we close out this service today, I want to ask you to just intentionally give a little thought to this today and realize you need help from the Lord. You need victory in your life. You're dealing with struggles. You're dealing with an adversary that's trying to come against you. You feel defeated, discouraged, under an attack of the enemy. How can I get out of that? How can I overcome that? Well, one of the ways that you can is by turning your focus to the Lord. Turning your attention toward the Lord. Amen. And you may have to offer a sacrifice of praise, and that just means you may not feel like it. You may not have any desire to do it, but you just know it's the right thing to do. Giving glory and praise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we're Pentecostal folks. We should not get nervous if someone starts lifting up their voice and praising God. It should not disturb us because people are worshiping God and clapping their hands and lifting their hands and rejoicing in the presence of the Lord. You don't know the battle they might be in. You don't know the struggles they might be facing, and that they are pressing in because they want to experience the victory, the power of God in their life. And so they're pressing in to worship the Lord and enter in to that wonderful place of His presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So could we all across this building this morning turn our attention toward the only hope that we have? That hope is in the Lord. And you can give glory unto the Lord. The fruit of your lips, give praise unto the Lord. Amen. By lifting your hands, by clapping your hands, by praising the Lord, you are honoring the Lord, and you are getting lifted up above the trials and the troubles and all the things that you're dealing with in your life right now through praise. Amen. There is a purpose to our praise. There is a purpose to our entering in to the presence of the Lord. Amen. So I encourage you this morning, let's just take a moment in the presence of the Lord. Would you lift up your hands, lift up your voice? Would you worship Him today? Thank you, Lord Jesus.